last couple weeks, you know, Martha, Martha, Martha. This is called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Because this is, we're going to talk about the third meeting between Jesus and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They met three times. Three times Jesus specifically met with them, and we have this recorded in the Bible, three different encounters. Now, if you remember 2 weeks ago, not last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first encounter, right? With Martha, Martha served, right? He went to their house. We find Martha serving. Martha was the one who would bring out the cheesecake, you know, make sure everybody was okay, make sure the coffee was filled, make sure, you know, everybody had hot tea or whatever. And she made sure everybody knew what she was doing, that she was the server. She was the hostess. And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet listening. And then the Bible says that Lazarus was just hanging out, was in the room, kind of spending time there with Jesus along with Mary. But Mary sat at his feet. And then at one point, Martha says, "Don't you care? You know, Jesus, you know, tell Mary to help me out. Don't you care that she's just sitting there and I'm slaving over you and I'm doing all this and she's just sitting there?" And then Jesus responds and says this, that Mary, there is one, Martha, there is one thing needed. And Mary has chosen that. He's basically saying this. He's saying, "Martha, you're your own problem. Don't tell me," because Martha said that Mary was a problem. Jesus says, "No, Mary, Martha, you're the problem. And if you find out what Mary did that was right, you'd fix yourself." Yes. Amen? Amen? Then we went to John chapter 11. So go there. John chapter 11, we talked about the second encounter with Jesus and Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And in this case, Lazarus dies. He's dead. Now, Martha and Mary call for Jesus to come and raise him up. First, they call him to heal him because he was sick. But he dies, and Jesus specifically waits two more days to make sure Lazarus is really dead because he's about to do something amazing. So we find now Jesus shows up, and Martha again does the same thing. She's serving. She's making sure everybody's comfortable, you know, doing everything she needs to do. And now her negative attitude has rubbed off on her sister Mary. Martha said this, "You know, if you were here, he wouldn't have died." And then Jesus hits her with the word. Mary then says the same thing. "If you were here, my brother Lazarus would not have died." Interesting how negativity rubs off on people who are positive. It's really not the other way around. Because of who we are, because of our fleshly nature, because of our sin nature, because we were born in sin, and because we still have this flesh, this mind gravitates to negativity. So you will always have to fight that in your life. That's why the Bible says that bad morals corrupt good company, or bad company corrupts good morals. So you can't hang out with corrupt, negative people and think you're going to rub off on them. It's really going to be the other way around. You have to live a life of a witness of Jesus Christ and let that touch their lives. That's what will change them. Your faith in him is what will change them. Amen? Now, let's look at this real quick with Mary and Martha and Mary. So watch this. In verse 21, John chapter 11, verse 21, because today I'm going to hit you blind. I'm just going to knock you out today. It's going to be great. Verse 21, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And they go through back and forth, 25, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.' Do you believe this?" Let me say this. They're in a time of pressure. Lazarus is dead, right? Stuff has just gone down. They've buried him. Life has changed for them dramatically. What does Jesus do? He applies the word. He speaks the word. During times of trouble, times of pressure, it is not a time to question the word. It is a time to apply the word. Everybody hear that? What does Jesus do? He doesn't question the word. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He simply speaks the word to the situation. Amen? You got to remember that. Listen, when somebody gets sick, well, I don't know why they got sick. I thought they loved Jesus. I don't know why this happened. I go to church every week. I give every week. And, you know, I can't get by. I can't make ends meet. I don't know why. That is not a time to question the word. It is a time to apply the word. No, my God shall never let me fail, right? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going over. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. God has made me more than a conqueror. He supplies every need according to his riches and glory. That's not a time to back down. It's a time to apply the word. And in this case, Jesus gives them the whole thing. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, he's confronting death. Amen. Praise Jesus. Now drop down to verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Word for word what Martha said, but her heart is still soft because she's on her knees. She's exactly the same place we found her the last time. Everybody see that? All right, let's go to John chapter 12 now. Let's really hit this home. Let's apply this to our lives and watch what happens. John chapter 12, it's the final meeting between Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Jesus. I'm going to read a bunch. I'm going to go from John chapter 12 from verse 1 to about verse 11. All right, so follow along with me. Ready? It says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. First, did you notice the time frame? It's just before the Passover. It's just before he's going to be crucified. It's a week before his crucifixion. Everybody good? That's real important. You got to remember that, because we're going to hit this book later. It's a week before his crucifixion. It says, now 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Third time, she hasn't learned a thing. She's still serving. Listen, there's nothing wrong with serving. But you don't substitute your serving for worship. You never substitute your service for the word. I'm going to talk about this a lot today. Ready? Let's continue. It says, Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. That's the same thing he was doing before he died. Did you notice his life has not really changed? I mean, you were dead. Jesus raised you from the dead. And all you're doing is sitting down at the table, just hanging out with him. I'm going to tell you why that's not a good thing. Look at Martha. Same house. Her brother was raised from the dead. And what is she doing? She's still serving. She hasn't changed. Let's continue. I'm going to read this whole thing first, I said, right? Yeah. All right. Verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have done, no, you will have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now a great many of them of the Jews that was there, and they came, and not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because of on account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Then after that, you see the palm. Right, let me read the next two verses. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus would come into Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out. So you notice when this is? just before Palm Sunday, just before he's about to be crucified. Good? You got the time frame? Real important. Let's go back to chapter 12 again and verse the first two verses. Watch the characters that are involved in this and how they express themselves after two encounters and now a third final encounter with Jesus. Verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at a table with him. I know a lot of Marthas in my life, and I'm not talking about this Martha here. She's the best Martha. Yay. What? I know a lot of spiritual Marthas that they can have an encounter after an encounter after an encounter with God, and they still don't change. Three times, this is her third time to meet Jesus, and she still hasn't changed. She's still doing the same thing she did when she first met him. Now, again, I'm not saying it's not good to serve, but after three meetings with Jesus and him doing a miracle and raising your brother, something should change in your heart. She still has the same attitude. Listen, the Israelites, for 40 years, God did miracles, and they never changed. What did God do? He turned his back on them. He says, you're nothing but obstinate, stubborn, thick-headed people. Then verse 3, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So let's talk about spikenard. What is spikenard? Notice Mary now is at a different level. Remember the first time we see Mary, she is at his feet. The second time, she is still at his feet. The third time, she's still at his feet. But she's doing something different. The first time, she's hearing the word. She's learning the word. The second time, she's questioning the word. But now she's gotten to a totally different place with God. She is now worshiping him. Let me tell you how important this is. Spikenard. She takes a flask full of spikenard. Notice the cost. Does it say the cost here? A very costly oil of spikenard. We're going to go to Mark 14 in a minute, but let me talk about spikenard. Spikenard is an oil that it's an anointing oil that is only used to embalm kings. Only for kings. It's an oil that only used to anoint kings when they die. Do you realize she is the only one in the room who has recognized him as the king? This speaks volumes of what now has taken place in her heart. The revelation that she has. Listen, in John chapter 11, Jesus tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And that hit her so hard that now the third time she's declaring, you are the resurrection and the life. You are the King of Kings. And she is the only one who has acknowledged that in this room. Bible says it was very costly oil. Go to Mark 14. Mark 14, we see the same instance. Mark 14, go to verse 3. It says, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii. Ready? The average wage at that time was 1 denarii per day. So if it's 300 denarii, It's about a year's worth of salary. So in other words, she has saved up her whole year's salary to buy this anointing oil. In other words, this thing cost her a lot of money. It has cost her a lot of time. It has cost her a year of her life. Let me say this. Worship should cost you something. Worship is not cheap. Jesus is not into cheap worship. Jesus wants to know how much you value him. And she declared, you're worth 1 year. Now, you know, it's not that's all he's worth, but she took a whole year. Notice this, that she took it. Here we get a little bit more detail. She took it and she cracked it open. And she poured it from head to toe. She anointed his whole body. Why did she crack it? Not only did she declare him as king, but when she cracked it, it symbolized that his body would be broken for our sins, broken for our healing. In other words, she was the only one to declare, not only is he king, but he's going to be broken. He's going to die for me. The only one who saw that. The only one who realized when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And she was the only one who brought it and cracked it open and let that 1 year's worth of salary to be poured out upon him. Listen, if your wife spent a year's worth of salary on a bottle of perfume, you would flip out. And Judas flipped out. Watch this. Look at verse 4. But there were some there who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. If you're really not worshiping God until it rubs somebody the wrong way. Listen, Bill can run around the room. When you get annoyed at him, then you know he's worshiping God. When he can get in your face and start worshiping God, then you know something's going on. It's cost him a lot to do that. When Kenny used to come and fall on the floor, you know it's touching his heart. You know it's costing him a lot to do that. Amen? Worship has to cost you something. Giving all to God has to cost you something. Ready? Let me talk about the difference between Martha and Mary. Why serving is okay, but it's not worship. When you worship, notice she took everything she had. She took a year's salary, she took the thing, and she broke it over him, and she gave everything, and the Bible says that she took her hair and she anointed his feet. She took her hair, her glory. The Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory. God gave a woman beautiful hair as her glory. And she took the most precious, the most glorious thing that God could give a woman, and she took it and she was wiping his feet, anointing his feet. In other words, she exposed herself. She gave of her very self. Ready? The reason why people just rather serve than worship is because worship, you have to open your heart to worship God. But instead of worshiping, people run and serve because they don't want to expose themselves to God. How many times you see people serving? Well, I should be doing this, and let me be doing this while worship is going on. They're out of the room. They're not here during worship. Why? Because they don't want to have to expose themselves. Well, if I go to worship, you know, I have to lift my hands and I have to tell God how great he is, and, you know, he's going to see me. Because how could you tell how wonderful you are, when you start saying how much you love him, you're exposing your heart. That's worship. People don't want to do that.
They'd rather cover up and say, whoa, whoa, but you know what? I got to make sure the communion is right. I got to make sure the envelopes are right. Oh, I'll be right back. I'll be outside taking care of things. Don't worry. I'm working in the background. Because worship will expose you. Serving hides you. Well, I'm helping, ain't I? Martha had so many issues that she'd rather serve than have to face Jesus one-on-one. Remember what the word worship means. It means to kiss face-to-face. That means I have to look right in your eyes and you're going to look in my eyes. Mary was there. Mary said, you know what? I've heard the word. I've sat at your feet. I saw the word in action. Mary stepped to the highest level. She took the word and she worshiped him with it. She took her own body and she worshiped God with it. The Bible says that our body should be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do you know your body is a form of worship? Keeping it holy, living right, is a form of worship. When you have sin, the Bible says, just confess your sin. Why? Because he wants you to worship. People can't worship when they have sin hiding in their hearts. I know that. I watch. I see people. Because people have sin, run away from God. Well, I can't come to church. I'm a sinner. Dude, you need to come to get clean. That's churches. Janice and I always talk about people who are not in church. Typically, it's because they just did something. And they run from God when they should run to God. He's the only help you have. Amen? Verse 5. For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. In other words, there'll be a day in court for you. You'll have your moment with God. God will arrest you and say, okay, do you believe in me or not? People have been running from God, and God says, no, there's going to be a day for you. You can go on your boat any day you want. You can hit the beach any day you want. But there's a time for me and you. Do you see that? That's what he's saying. He says, you can do all that anytime you want. But when I'm here, you better be here. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. This is good. Listen. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Isn't that amazing? 2,000 years later, we are still talking about this lady's worship, this lady's anointing. And Jesus said this, what she has done will be preached forever. Do you realize worship touches the heart of God, and he remembers you forever for what you've done? Luke 24, don't go there, 23, remember when the ladies went to anoint Jesus' body? And what happened? He's already alive. You know why? They weren't allowed to touch his body. Nobody anointed Jesus' body because she did it. And he said, you have the distinction, lady, of being the only one who has ever touched this body to anoint me with oil. That's amazing. Ready? Verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot, this is going to hurt a lot of you in here. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray them. Ready? Jesus tells Judas, no, Judas. Listen, Judas said, hey, Jesus, why don't we sell that? I'll take care of it. I'll go feed the poor with it. What does Jesus say? Jesus
just said something to Judas, and guess what Judas got? He got offended. Listen how bad this is. I've preached this for years. Guard your heart from offenses. Be careful of being offended. Be super careful. Be extra careful. Guard your heart from being offended. Judas just got offended at Jesus, and the first thing he does is run to somebody else to tell him. And then he betrays him. Judas's offense caused him to betray Jesus. I know people who've been offended by me in the church years, over the years, and the first thing they do is run to tell somebody else. It's the first thing they do. Hey, how do you feel about Pastor Art? Well, what do you mean? Well, the other day, always looking for somebody that can betray the person that got offended, that was the offender. Did you see what he did because he got offended? He betrayed Jesus because Jesus hurt his feelings. He literally betrayed him. Offense will cause you to make bad decisions and will cause you to sin. And it will ruin you. You know you're offended when you got to find somebody to tell. When you're looking for somebody. Hey, let's get some coffee. You go to World Life, right? Can we get some coffee one day? What's up? You know, I just want to talk. Is that cool? And it's real simple. Hey, what do you think? What do you think about Miss Janice? You know, oh, I think she's wonderful. Yeah, she is, isn't she? You know, the other day, here it comes. Here comes the offense. Why? Because you're looking for somebody to join your group. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught about the parable of the sower, and he said, when you're offended, you better watch out. The devil's coming immediately to steal your heart. And he did it to Judas. Judas got offended. He immediately ran, and he told somebody else. And he stole. The Bible says that Satan filled Judas's heart. When you're offended, you are open game for the devil to fill your heart and your mind. I know this is heavy. I said it would be. But offense is a serious, serious thing. See how Pastor Artie and Janice matched this morning? Do they think they're cute? Yeah. I put this shirt on first. They think they're so cute. They just make me want to barf. You'll be surprised at how easy people get offended. Listen, Judas was his treasurer. He was his treasurer for 3 years. He was the most qualified person to be on his cabinet. And the first thing Jesus, the first chance he gets to get offended, he runs to somebody else. And he betrays Jesus. Go back to John 12. Let's finish up. Good? Did I step on your toes? No? Preach! That's what I want to hear. Preach it, Pastor! You know what? Let's go back to John 12. Let's just finish this up. Watch this. Ready? Let's finish the story. Verse 3. It says, "And Mary took a pound of very costly oil spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair." See that? She wiped. I talked about this, right? With her hair. Why his feet? Because Isaiah says that the feet of him are so precious. Because those feet brought the gospel to her house. You understand why she hid his feet? Because those feet came to her house. The Bible says that we are to shod our feet with the gospel of peace. Because everywhere we go, Jesus goes. Everywhere we go, we can bring the gospel. Colbert's going to Haiti to bring the gospel. Those feet are precious. Don't take your shoes off, but those feet are precious. When I go to Egypt, the feet are precious. Guatemala, Albania, doesn't matter where you go, when you bring the gospel, your feet, God sees them as precious. And your feet have anointing oil on them. It says, and his feet and her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. Your worship will fill the room. Jesus, the King, the Savior, the one who's about to die, for all of them in the room, every one of them, and only one recognizes it. Jesus made salvation available to everybody in that room. Her worship filled the room with his presence. And only one recognized it. Luke 24. And then we're done. Luke 24, sorry. Luke 24. Ready? Luke 24. Verse 1. And we're going to receive communion. Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Let me put a little spin on this. Jesus knows everything, right? He knew they were coming to anoint his body, right? He made sure he was not there. Because what he promised Mary, that what you're doing today will be a memorial, and no one will ever touch me again. And what did he do? He made sure he was alive, and he was not there. He fulfilled his word. Can you imagine that for 2,000 years, we've been talking about the alabaster flask. We've been talking about a lady who worshipped him and anointed his feet with her hair. Jesus said, it'll be a memorial to you forever, lady. You want to affect your generation? You want to affect generations to come? Worship him. Get a little closer. Let people make fun of you as you're worshiping him, because his presence will fill the room. And their day is coming. You want to change your family? Worship him. You want to change your job? Worship him. You want to change your friends? Don't listen to the junk. Worship him. Lord, I worship you. Hey, man, let's talk about our boss. He's an idiot. How about we just thank God for his goodness that we got a job?